You know, as I was putting together this series that we're continuing today, I scheduled this out a long time ago, and God works in really cool ways. Today was actually the day I had scheduled for the Great Commission. As we're looking through this time between the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, and Pentecost, and kind of the 50 days that the disciples walked through between these big events. And the words we're going to be studying today are some of the most well-known in the church. This happened about a week before, or a few days before the ascension, and it's these parting words, these final commands of Jesus to the disciples and to us as well. And you could call these maybe some famous last words. And these are instructions that have gone on, commands that have continued in the church through the centuries and millennia, and now are carried with us today. And so we're studying the Great Commission in Matthew 28. I encourage you to open up there and read along. This is verses 16 through 20. So let's read this together. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." These words, especially verses 19 and 20, are words we have read many times. They're printed on t-shirts and hung on banners, and they're put on the back of postcards of missionaries and things that are very familiar to us. But when you really understand what Jesus is asking, not only of them, but of us, you start to see the depth of this and how important this is for all of us. It's the reason, actually, that we're here today, is that the disciples were obedient to this, and then those disciples were obedient to this, and it carried on through the centuries and through the countries to us, gathering here in Maple Plain, Minnesota. And the call is pretty clear that we are to make disciples of all nations, but before you understand that calling, you have to see the backdrop of what's being said here by Jesus. You have to trust in his authority, as he explains in verse 18, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And understand where the disciples are in this moment of the story, that they had seen their Savior crucified, and he died, and he was in the tomb, right? And now he's raised from the dead, and they're seeing him, and shortly he'll be ascending to heaven. And they're trying to figure out how all of this works. And even in that, you see that these disciples had worshipped him when they met him, that there's some place in Galilee, some mountain in which they were to meet. They didn't know what they were going to find or what they were going to hear when they go there. And they worshipped him, but some doubted. And what that's really saying is that they still are kind of rubbing their eyes and saying, is this real? Is Jesus really resurrected from the dead? Is this all really happening? And so then Jesus says these words that should be of great comfort to them, but also to give them some boldness. And he's saying, all authority on heaven and on earth are given to him. So Jesus is walking in great power in this morning and in this moment. And so if you're walking with him, you're walking in that power as well. And that's the backdrop or the foundation that we're supposed to understand as we see the commission and the command that he gives next. And the reality is that we often just walk with too much fear as Christians. And we think, you know, if this law passes, or if this person is voted in, or if this thing happens in my town, or then the church is over, right? It's done. This is our last chance, and it's all hinging on this one human thing. But Jesus himself said that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. He said earlier to the Apostle Peter that not even the gates of hell can prevail against the church. So when we understand and consider the Great Commission, we should always view it in this authority that Jesus is talking about. That this is not our church, this is not our movement in our towns, in our countries. This is Christ's church. This is his eternal church, of which there is no threat under heaven or earth against it. So when you walk in this commandment, you are to walk in obedience and boldness with his authority. It's this understanding that Jesus is not our personal Lord and Savior, and we say those words a lot, and those are true, that personally each person needs a Savior, but whether we believe in Jesus or not, whether anyone believes in Jesus or obeys Jesus or not, Jesus is still Lord over all creation. And right now he has ascended, he's seated at the right hand of the Father with all authority under heaven and earth. So when you respond to the command that we're about to talk about, you don't do it in your own authority and power, because if you do, you'll fail. Because we don't carry the power and the authority that is necessary for making disciples. We're about to study that command, go and make disciples. And when we hear that, a lot of times we think, great, I've got this foolproof 5-step plan that will convert all the people I know and bring them in, and I have this argument that I can make that they can't refute, and they're going to have to yield to my side. And that's not how this works. It's not our skill. It's not our intelligence. It's not our determination. It's in his power and in his authority. And we can't do it in our authority and power, because we have none. All of it has been given to him. So trust in his authority as we study these words, as we walk in obedience to his command. Let's read again these words again that we all have probably heard dozens or hundreds of times in our life. Verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And when we read these words, these aren't words that Jesus only gave to the original 11 disciples who had become apostles. That's not words that only were for the missionaries and the evangelists and the pastors. These words are for every believer that has ever walked and carried his name. Anyone who has placed their faith in Jesus and become his disciple, these words are for them. These words are for you. And it's not a comfortable calling, right? This should kind of make you feel uncomfy to know this is Jesus' expectation of every believer. And we live in kind of a comfy culture. You know, our great commission as a North American church, our biggest mission is to go and find a nice church with comfy seats and good coffee and great kids programs and a trendy-dressed pastor, which I know is offensive to many of you, because that's why you're here. I'm so trendy and hip. And we think our mission as Christians is to go find a church that will serve us and that we feel good at. And that is important. You need to find a good local church to connect in. But we spend more time looking for the perfect church as Christians that we sometimes forget the purpose of the church. And the purpose of the church is right here in these verses, this great command of Jesus. It's a simple definition of our vision and our mission. And if church becomes complicated, it's because we make it that way. It's a pretty simple thing in the end. It's disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And that really is the crux here. When you look at the operative command of this, it is to make disciples. And it's supported by the ideas of going and baptizing and teaches, but that the command itself is making disciples of every nation. Not necessarily going, that's to support that. And see, in our culture, going isn't the problem. We're always going, right? We're always busy. It's what you do when you go there. We're to make disciples of all nations. And nations here is the Greek word ethos, or ethnicities, making disciples of all peoples, which means going literally to different nations, but it means that the gospel is for every person, everywhere, of all time. Whether they live here, whether they live in Austria, whether they live in Africa, every person needs to know the gospel. And that's the command, the commission that Jesus gives us. This, for us, should be our greatest joy as Christians, but also our greatest burden. It should be the thing that we think about. And this is a great commission, as we call it, not a great suggestion. It's imperative for the church. Really, it's how we've survived as a church, as Christ's church, through thousands of years, is that people took this as a command. And they did it with both joy and burden. Now, I read once that if we stopped doing this, if we stopped making disciples as a church, and we all, as a worldwide church, said, you know what, our church is big enough. We got who we need to get. Nobody make any more disciples. All right, well, we'll just stop right here. This is as best as it's ever going to be. What I read, and I don't know how they figured this out, is that the church itself would effectively collapse on itself in about 38 years, about two generations. So we have to do this to survive. This is the command he gave us. But some of you are saying, what if I'm the person that's not good at this? All right, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a missionary. Let's just let like the Billy Grahams of our day and age and the Brandon and Christy Cossies do all the work for us. Because they're good at it. I'm just not. And this is my own math, so take this with a grain of salt. This is my post-it note math. That let's just say in Minnesota, we had our own Billy Graham of today, who every day they could bring 1,000 people to know Jesus. 1,000 people every day. It was, let's just let him take care of Minnesota, him or her. With no population growth or decline, if everyone stayed alive forever, it would take 250 years for all of Minnesota to know Jesus. It'd be 1,000 years, over 1,000 years for the whole U.S. It'd be about 25,000 years for the whole world to know Jesus if we just said like that one person needs to do it. Conversely, if we said right now, every one of us are going to make one disciple every year, and then that disciple is going to make one disciple every year, and we said we're all going to do this, one disciple every 12 months, then the whole world would know Jesus in about 30 years. Within our lifetimes for most of us. This is the command that Jesus gave us, and it's something that must be done for people to know the Lord. And I think about our town right now, Maple Plain. Most of you, some of you are from Maple Plain, some of you aren't, but it's where we are right now. I want you to think about Maple Plain, Minnesota. We're a small city, okay? From one side to the other, there's no more than a mile and a half in any direction of the city borders. The population is just under 2,000 people. Statistically, that means there's maybe 1,300, 1,500 people plus who don't know the Lord. Right here, among us. And as you leave here today, you're going to drive by their homes. You're going to see them walking their dogs. You might go out to lunch and you'll be next to them eating. They're your neighbors. They're your coworkers. And right now, there are people who are lost and broken and hurting. They don't know the forgiveness of sin. They don't know the freedom in Jesus. And they're right here. There's thousands of them as you leave the church today. If you extrapolate that out further, there's over 5 million of them in Minnesota. There's over 300 million in the U.S. And there's billions with a B around the world, billions of people who don't know Jesus, who have no hope of eternity and are lost. I don't know much about Vienna except the sausages, it's, right? The little canned sausages. But I found out this morning that, are they in Austria too? Is that just an American thing? No, okay, so. Apologies to Vienna for the sausages. But I learned from the Cossies this morning that only about 1% of Austria knows Jesus, right? And so there's this great burden you have there. And around the world, there's these billions and billions of people. There's whole villages. entire populations and cultures who don't know Jesus. And God told us in 1 Timothy 2:4 that he desires for all people to know, to come to the knowledge of the truth in his son Jesus. It's this burden that's placed on us. And you just think about where we are right now. And then the billions with a B around the world. This is the kind of stuff as a church, as we view this in the backdrop of this command, that should get us up in the morning and should keep us up at night. There's people who are going to die without any bit of hope. And yet inside of us, we have that hope. We have that joy. We know his love and his peace and his kindness and his mercy and his grace. And all we need to do to make that happen is to go. And that's the first of kind of three supporting participles in this command. The command is to make disciples of all nations, and the first way to do that is to go. And so the Greek is kind of out of order here in how we would do it, but literally what this means is as you have gone from here, is what Jesus is saying. It's this presumption that they are going to go and not just stay in that mountain forever. So as you are going, and the confidence of Christ's power and authority and in obedience to his command, go with purpose. Go on purpose. And again, we don't have a problem with going in our culture. We have a problem with stopping. Okay, we're busy. We're just really, really busy people. And what you understand is there's a big difference between being busy and being productive. As a Christian, we have to ask ourselves, is our busy on purpose? Are we busy doing the things that matter and drive us toward our ultimate purpose and vision? And that's the point that Jesus was making here to these disciples, is like, as you go, you're going to keep going. And so as you are going, be on purpose. Be intentional. That making disciples can't be accidental. As a church, we can't be accidentally successful. So go here means something different for everyone. As you're going through life, it could mean going to another country. But it also could mean going to the family reunion with your weird cousins, right? It could mean going across the street to your weird neighbors. And I say that as a couple of my neighbors here today. It could be going into the inner city. It could be going to your kids' bedtime and reading them a Bible story and praying with them. It could be going out of your comfort zone in any way. But the reality is you understand the burden and the joy that it is to share the gospel, that there are people around you, there are people out there who don't know Jesus and need to. And fueled by this love and this compassion to share that, you go on purpose. You go and you cross the boundaries, whatever they may be. The second thing here is to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And this is not in order to give them salvation. Baptism, we understand biblically, is this display of salvation, this public proclamation of the faith that they have. And it symbolizes kind of your identity with Jesus, but then also our inclusion into the body of Christ, that we're all in this together and we become a part of something bigger than ourselves. And that's not some kind of hit and run job that you convert them and you baptize them and then you're gone, right? But you teach them now. And this is the ongoing discipleship that we are doing as believers, that you teach them to obey everything Jesus has commanded us, that they then can make disciples and pass that on and teach that to the disciples they make. And we see here that this great commission, as we walk in this obedience, is this ongoing effort. It's a sticking with it. It's the being busy on purpose and fulfilling this mission and this command to make disciples who make disciples. You know, I think about often when I see my neighbors, I go downtown, I go to a Twins game, and I look around at people, and I say, I wonder how many of them know Jesus. And I also ask myself, I wonder how many don't. And it moves me. I get this burden of knowing Jesus and knowing what he's done in my life. and I see this vast sea of lostness. And I don't want to stop, right? I want them to know. And that's what should be driving us as Christians, is if you know the Lord, if you have tasted and seen that he is good, then it's through this love and this compassion that all you want to do is share it. And there's plenty to go around. You walk in obedience to the commission of Jesus, and I guarantee you it will bring joy to your life, not just burden. And as you do that, it's not going to be easy. There is going to be, quote, failure along the way. I've shared Jesus with many people in my life, and I've had a lot of answers of thanks but no thanks, or get away from me, you weirdo. I've had conversations on the plane, in coffee shops, and restaurants. I've asked waiters and waitresses if I can pray for them, and I've shared the gospel, and there's been kind of a staunch rejection of that. But sometimes it works. And you never know how Jesus uses these things, but the thing you can do along the way is rest in his presence, because this isn't our commission. This isn't our efforts. This is his. This is his church that he works in the ways we don't understand. It's a big task. And sometimes you're called into scary places. We support missionaries who are in closed countries and places where if you come out publicly and profess your faith, you die. Right? We don't deal with that here, but we deal with other forms of rejections and hardships, but we can rest assured, as he says, surely Jesus tells us he is with us to the very end of the age. And what that means is he's with us until he comes back again. Right now, Jesus is with us as we do this. The Great Commission compels us to go and make disciples in difficult places and in difficult ways, but we don't do it alone. And when Jesus says, surely, in the Greek, this is basically saying, I am telling you the truth here. Like, you can take this to the bank. Believe me, I am with you. And this complements his claim of all authority, is that there's nothing that can also keep his presence from us. Nothing will separate us from Christ in all this. As we go, we don't go alone. So the conclusion in this is that there's a directive here that has spanned all cultures and all generations, that it is for every believer. And it points to us that the gospel is not just to show us that Jesus is king, but that also that we should believe it and proclaim it. And not just here, not just there, but here and there, near and far, to the very ends of the earth, to all people of all time. The beautiful thing is you and I are part of these words. We're part of this command. We're part of God's story. And right now, we are commissioned by the King to make disciples, to go. But as you go, go in the confidence of his authority and his power. Go in obedience to make your life on purpose and with purpose. And go in his comfort, knowing he is with you always to the very end of the age. Let's pray as we close. Lord, we thank you for these words that you gave so long ago that ring true today. That for those of us who have placed our faith in you, that have been made new in you, that we can walk in this freedom, in this joy of life, that we can experience life to the full. For many here who have walked free from addictions and vices and brokenness and hurts, God, that you come to comfort us, you come to heal us in every way, but most importantly, spiritually, you've come to forgive us of our sin, that we can spend eternity with you. And I just pray for anyone here today that does not know that, that does not know you, that maybe they've been searching through life, maybe they've heard of this good news, but they haven't quite placed their faith in you. I just pray that they would know that there is no other way, there is no other truth, there is no other life but through your son Jesus, who came to pay the price for our sin on the cross, who conquered death and rose from the grave, that we can walk in newness of life with him. And that as we trust in you as Lord and we confess you as Lord, that we will be saved. I pray for anyone who hasn't made that decision yet, that they would trust you with their whole lives and know that there's the forgiveness of sin that is only in you, that there's the fullness of life that is only in you and through your son, Jesus. But God, for those of us who have known that for a day, a week, a decade, our whole lives, God, I pray that we would have that gospel of truth, that message of hope, and shine our light in the darkness around us, not for the sake of winning an argument or feeling right or self-righteous indignation, but that we do it because we have love and we have compassion for those around us. And we want them to know what we know, that God, you are good, that your mercy endures forever. God, that there is a love and a peace and a joy that's only found in you. So God, help us to go from here with that conviction, that compassion, as we yield to your great commission in our lives. We pray this now in your name, Jesus. Amen.